Welcome to the Divinely Human Podcast.
I am Alicia.
And I'm Tanita.
This podcast is where deep dives and real life collide.
Where we open the sealed section from the cosmic to the chaotic.
Let's dive in.
Hi, and welcome to season 3, episode 2. This episode, we are going really deep and we're actually changing things up. We haven't done this type of content on this podcast in our whole 50 episodes yet. So it's a little bit different, but we really think that, you know, it will provide a lot of insight into why we're running this podcast and why we're doing what we're doing. So we're excited to bring down the walls and be really vulnerable with you and, yeah, just bring you into our lives a little bit. So this episode is going to be a little bit more of an interview style. And yeah, I'm really excited.
I'm excited. I'm nervous, but I'm excited. So,
yeah, I feel that.
Especially because we're doing them as split episodes. So it's like, the spotlight's on me. And I'm like, I'm so uncomfortable already.
Yeah, like, don't you have Chiron and Leon, Leo as well? It's like,
yeah. I'm like, let's share this. So yeah.
Well, it's gonna be okay. You're gonna be held the entire time, and our community is so beautiful and so understanding. So I'm really interested to see how they receive this, but I know it's gonna be with a lot of love.
Yeah. And I feel like it's been a long time coming. We've both wanted to sort of speak about some things ever since we began this podcast. So it'll be nice to sort of go into that and really go that little bit deeper.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely. All right. Well, before we dive in, I do want to just provide a trigger warning for the podcast. This podcast will contain sensitive content and it might be distressing for some listeners. So we're discussing topics related to abuse, childhood trauma, and mental health. And our aim, of course, is to provide information to support and, you know, offer a platform for healing conversations. But we do understand that some of these subjects can be triggering. So we encourage you to prioritize your well-being. And of course, you know, if this is overwhelming for you, either skipping through the episode and, of course, seeking professional help or speaking with a trusted friend or therapist and always knowing that there is support out there for you. So if you're ready, I'm ready. Now, I know we've got a whole bunch of questions that not only came from, you know, the community, but also things that we wanted to touch on. And I'm really curious to understand, like, what is something that people misunderstand about you the most? Like, what is that common thread of misunderstanding that comes through in your life?
It's so funny because some of it kind of flows through from my personal life into, I guess, my work/business as well. And one of them probably would be that I'm just really timid. Ever since I was little, I've always had people say, you know, and I overheard people saying it to my parents too, like, oh, you're so, like, Alicia's just so quiet and so shy and so timid, like, oh, how sweet. And I think because I heard that so much as a child, I ran with that narrative growing up. And it's not until maybe the last few years that I've really kind of left that in the past and realized that I'm not actually that person. Even though I felt like I haven't been that person all along, I felt like I kind of had to play that role in a way. So it's been interesting. I feel like, yeah, probably that just assumption that I'm this quiet, timid, quiet, good girl, you know?
Yes, I totally get that. And I guess because I've known you for, oh my God, years now at this point, I've seen you overcome that and rebut that in your own life. Like, I remember specifically you saying to me and part of your community, you want to share more of your opinions, but there's such a loud voice in you that says, you know, no, like, stop, like, just like be quiet and simmer down. You're like, no, but inside, like, you're passionate and you're vibrant. And it's funny because the things that we get told as a child, they really do impact in so many different levels. And I actually wouldn't have expected you to say that, but at the same time, I totally, totally get that.
Yeah, I think it's something that, it's the first thing that comes to mind because it's something that's always felt like a shadow to me that I've had to carry. And it's also something that I've known for so long that wasn't me, but I just kind of played that role, maybe, I don't know, to please everyone else's expectations of me.
Yeah,
it's a hard one.
It definitely is a hard one. When would you say like you started to come out of that shell?
Probably, oh my goodness. I felt something fire up when I had my first son. So when I became a mom, I felt like something just unclicked from the puzzle piece. Like, I don't need to be this, or this piece doesn't belong here. Why is it here? And I felt that follow me for years. So I was first aware of it, I think, when I became a mom. Like entering motherhood was a big initiation for me into stepping into my power.
Yeah.
And it was, I would say, it was like my first awakening. Entering motherhood triggered that first awakening period of my life where I recognized what and who I wanted to be and who I didn't want to be as well at the same time. Now I kind of let that simmer, I feel though, for a while. And it's actually interesting. I feel like the moment where I truly committed to stepping into that was probably when we were speaking a lot about Lilith and stepping into the energy of Lilith, you know, and not necessarily like working with anything externally, but really working with the idea of Lilith within me and who she is to me and how I resonate with her and her story. And that is probably the big Kickstarter in terms of that, because that then led to like working with the serpent as well and like Kundalini energy. And it's just really fiery. And I definitely think maybe the last few years especially has been a big initiator for me, where I've kind of 100% fully committed myself to working with kind of, moving through it is probably a better way to explain that.
Totally. I get that. And I remember learning about the Lilith asteroid and us looking at it in our charts and both of us having this kind of like, oh my God, like that is within us, right? And seeing you embody that has been so transformative for me to watch, because it's such a like permission slip for other women to recognize that these maybe labeled bad parts or naughty parts or, you know, like unconditioned parts of ourselves are just as valuable and worthy than the other parts. And it kind of, it really does spiral you into this like deep just self-love and self-affection. And I don't know about you, but when you had your firstborn and you're kind of going through this process of understanding, okay, well, maybe I'm not who I've been conditioned to, maybe there's part of me that I'm yet to explore. What was that process like for you looking back on your younger self? Because I know for a lot of moms, it's incredibly like mind-boggling to know that you're going to look after a little human and you were once in that position. So I'm like just curious about how you supported your younger self through that, because I know that you have done a lot of inner child work and you are deeply connected to all parts of your life. So, yeah.
It was actually really difficult because I feel like my younger self, not just speaking about, you know, the 20-year-old that was pregnant at the time, but also my child self, had a lot to heal as well. So at the time, I still felt so naive at the time when I was moving through that motherhood. Right. And I think for a long time, I didn't necessarily support myself. I think that I kind of was in a little bit of survival mode, if that makes sense. I mean, at the time, especially entering motherhood, I was kind of in a relationship that wasn't serving me. There was a lot of emotional abuse going on. So at the time, I felt quite numb, you could say. And I really do feel like I lost myself a lot. And I didn't really start to support myself, I think, energetically or emotionally, or even take responsibility for my growth, you know, until my son was, well, until I pretty much left that relationship, to be honest, or maybe it was a few months. I think it was a few months before I left that relationship. I started seeing, I was like, I can't do this anymore. I need to start seeing a psychologist. So I started seeing a psychologist, and then every week I'd feel more confident in myself and who I was, and that I wasn't always the bad guy. I wasn't, you know, a terrible person or a piece of shit. And I could actually make decisions for myself and for my happiness. So that it took a few years. And once I did that, it was then that I really felt like I got into the swing of really supporting myself and putting myself first. You know, it's really funny. I still remember what my psychologist told me, and it stuck with me forever, because I used to speak to her a lot about like the guilt that was put on me. Like during that time of my life, and I was like made to feel really awful about just the most ridiculous things, like just existing pretty much. And I remember her telling me, she said, Alicia, the most important thing that you need to learn is that if you're not okay, like if you're not happy and you're not okay, then your child is not going to be okay either. So you don't actually put him first in this moment. You have to put yourself first. And in doing that, you are also choosing him as well, because you are then moving into being the best person you can be for him. And to hear that off someone for the first time in my whole life was like, wow, I can choose me? Like, what? Like, that's unheard of. So especially coming from a childhood where, you know, the dynamic of my childhood was like me and my sisters were like mothering. We were the mums, you know. We had to support emotionally support my own mother a lot, which, you know, was tough. But then coming into my own motherhood journey, I felt like I just wasn't allowed to choose myself, if that makes sense.
Yeah, definitely makes sense. And so I guess it's like this reoccurring theme, and it kind of got broken open when you started to see that psychologist. So you would say that little Leash, I mean, she had this just automatic response to look after everybody around her. Can you tell us a bit more about your younger self? Because I think that it helps us provide like so much context for just the massive amount of transformation that you've gone through and where you are now.
Yeah. Oh, that's a can of worms. You, funnily enough, I was like, I know that I would have had like that I had to dive into this question, but now that it's like looming over me, I'm like,
oh. What mission?
Yeah. Oh God. Signing out. Oh my goodness, my childhood. It was such a polarity. It's crazy when I speak about my childhood. There's like one side of my childhood that was like running around, growing up on property in the bush, like pretty much spending my whole childhood on the back of a horse, you know, like that was so fulfilling. And then there was the other side of the coin of my childhood, kind of growing up with, you know, my mom had like chronic mental health issues because of her own childhood trauma. That carried on, and me and my sisters, we just grew up with like a very, very, very traumatic dynamic within our household. It was really, I think that's probably why we spent so much time outside and, you know, my whole life circled around horses and animals and being outside of the house, because that the home itself, if you boil it down to just that home dynamic for us, it was really quite traumatic and stressful. And I just remember spending a lot of my childhood in fight or flight as well. You know, my mom was really like severely ill mentally and very, very suicidal as well. So it was like every single week, you know, having to, I remember like having to call my dad up all the time, like saying like my mom's, you know, I was like, dad, mom's trying to like hurt herself. Like, you know, so it was really hard, but at the same time, it's so strange, like looking at those experiences as a child now, because through those experiences, and not to sugarcoat it or anything, that's not what I'm trying to do, but it's like when you soften into those wounds, then you realize just like what kind of seeds have grown from that within myself now as an adult. And just like so many little gifts that I've discovered in like what my childhood was like and like the stress and the chaotic aspects of it, it's really helped me to be the person that I kind of am today and know, you know, what dynamic I don't want in my life at the same time. But yeah, childhood was, it was, it's weird speaking about it because there was such a polarity. It was, there was so, I have so many memories of joy and then so many memories of absolute terror as well, of not knowing what was going to happen or, you know, if my mom was going to live, you know. It was really, really scary as a child. And because there was four of us sisters, so there's, I have my younger sister, then there's me, and then I have two older sisters as well. I could tell that it was like moving down the line of like my older sisters were trying to protect me and then I was trying to protect my little sister, of like trying, you know, what we were exposed to, if you know what I mean. So there was a lot on all of our shoulders to bear in terms of trying to make sure that my little sister was protected and kind of didn't see the things that we saw. So yeah, it was it's polarizing.
Yeah. I totally understand that. And I actually heard somebody on TikTok who he's a parental coach and he is a therapist, and he was explaining like no sibling has the same recollection of, you know, who their parents were. And it's so true because, you know, as a parent, you do change and no sibling is the same. No, like one of your children is the same. So I can totally resonate with that feeling of like wanting to protect your other siblings and be there for your mom. I can't imagine the amount of, yeah, pressure that put on you as a little kid. It's a lot for a little kid to go through. And then you growing up, when did you move out of home?
I was kind of in and out for a little while. So I got a boyfriend when I was 16.
Was this your first boyfriend or like first kind of like, you know,
it was deep? Like my first serious boyfriend.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
And he was a bit older than me as well. Of course. So it's actually like he wasn't in school. So
yeah.
I mean, that went down like so great.
I'm sure
that went down so great. I think the only thing that made my mom feel better is that he was like currently studying to become a police officer. So I was like, well, he must be kind of okay.
dating an underage girl. Like, yeah, it's fine.
And just like, it'll be really good. There's that aspect as well. So it was, yeah. So I think like once I hit 16, I was like spending so much time not at home and just kind of like with him anyway. Yeah. And yeah, it was a little bit traumatic sometimes, like coming home after being away for so, like being away for a week or so and then coming home back into the chaos. It was always really hard. And then I actually moved overseas for a little while to my dad's, because at that point my mom and dad had split up and my dad had moved overseas to Norway. And me and my little sister decided that we wanted to live over there with him. So we lived over there for a little while. And yeah, I came back eventually. And that is when I kind of moved out. I came back and I actually started like my diploma in beauty therapy. So I was like in Sydney all the time for that then. So I was kind of like still avoiding being home. Even when I moved back to Australia, I was like, I don't want to be here. So I was just like spending most of my time in Sydney, staying with friends and things like that while I completed my diploma down here. And then eventually there came a time where I got a job after that and I moved back into with my mom. And it was still just as chaotic as when I left, like when I was much younger. It was still just as chaotic as when I left, you know, to move overseas. And I remember I had met my, like, another partner by then, because obviously things fizzled off with my last boyfriend. And so I was in, like, a new relationship for, you know, a while. And then I found out while I was still living at home with my mom at that point, I found out I was pregnant then. So, and she knew I was pregnant too. I told her and everything, and me and my partner at the time were like planning on moving out and stuff anyway. But I remember I came home one day, and this is the day that I moved out. I came home and I love you, Mom. I'm sorry, but I'm like, fuck, I hope she hasn't listened to this. I came home and she had just destroyed the whole house. Like everything was just broken in pieces. Like everything was turned on its head. Like she'd obviously had a really big episode. And I was like, I can't do this. Can't do this while I'm pregnant. I just can't do this anymore. I was very, very early on too in my pregnancy. I don't even think I was 12 weeks. So it was at that day that I moved out. And at the time, actually, my little sister was, I think she was 15 or 16 at the time. So she moved out as well when she was 16 and I moved out. And that was it. That's when I was out and I never went back. And I also, I didn't speak to my mom for years.
Really?
I completely just cut ties. Didn't speak to her for like over 3 years. I think my son was like 2 or 3 when she met him, when I finally kind of contacted her or she contacted me. It was crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, you kind of look to the women in your life for support during your pregnancy when you're going through such a big change. So I'm curious, like, where did you find stability? Because I can only imagine going from such a turbulent situation at home to, you know, obviously having a new partner and being pregnant. And it's quite like, as much as it's, yes, certain, pregnancy is an uncertain time, and that change and upheaval, I'm so curious, like, what you did to kind of, or maybe what you didn't do to like anchor in. And maybe on reflection, would you have any advice for your younger self going through that whole process?
Oh my goodness, that's a hard question. so many bits of that, like, I don't even remember.
Yeah,
because I was like really had really bad anxiety at the time. and my stress levels were through the roof. And I find that when my anxiety is bad, it just blocks out parts of my life and I just don't remember. Like a lot of my childhood, there's like big windows where I'm like, what even happened? I don't even remember that. But from memory, because at the time we had moved, when I moved out, I moved in with my partner and his family as well. So they lived on like a property and I moved in with them. And I think like having his mom as well really helped me. Like there was still like some kind of like feminine older person around me that really helped. And my sister, actually one of my older sisters, she lived close by at the time. So like the oldest out of us four girls, she lived like just literally down the road. So she was such a big support for me. And it was at that time as well that she reached out to me and she was like, let's go to some circles. Like, let's go do like, there's this meditation that's on, like, maybe we should go. And I was like, oh, okay, we'll go. And it was, that is like the, one of the first times that I've really felt like supported in like a spiritual way.
Yeah.
And at the time, like I did not want to do it because I just felt like everything was so stressful anyway. And I was like, I can't even fucking fix this mess, but I did it. And I just felt so held that I ended up going back and we did it a few times and it just became like a routine of ours that we'd do together. And then I realized in that moment too, like the power of being supported by an actual group of women as well. And how impactful that can be. It's like you don't even know each other from a bar of soap. I had no idea who these other women were apart from the facilitator who was actually from the small town that I was originally from. But yeah, it was just was so profound to feel that for the first time. And being so young as well, I was 21 and I was like, wow, so this is sisterhood. This is what it can be. You know, I felt really held in that way. And also still seeing my psychologist at the time too was huge. She was like my mom. Like the support that that woman gave me, I will never forget. I literally, like I'm tearing up now because I ended up having, like I saw her for like years, like 4 years straight. And I remember one day I went in there and she was like, Alicia, I think you're ready. Like you don't think you actually need to come in here anymore and see me. And I was like, no,
let me stay.
I was like, I don't want to go. Oh my God. I'm literally, I cry every time I think of her. Aww. Anyway, she was just the best, honestly. Like, I feel like in the spiritual community, we always are told like, oh, like there's a healing for that, or there's like something special for that. But honestly, like never underestimate the power of an incredible psychologist and like the support that they can give you. Because I swear to God, I was ready to start stalking this woman when she told me this.
Just like, oh, accidentally bump in at the shopping center. I was like,
can you please adopt me? Please. Whoa. Just adopt me. Yeah, she was amazing. I'll never forget. No. Never forget her. She really helped me, especially with my self-love and my self-worth as well, which was like the biggest thing ever to have to learn to do for yourself. So yeah, I loved her.
I'm curious then, who would you say have been maybe top three most influential people in your life? Obviously one being your psychologist. Who might be the other two?
Yes, Janet. I love her.
you're like, please DM me, Janet, if you're listening to this.
Oh my goodness. Okay. This is actually a really good question. Once I like get away my little tears.
I know. Do you have tissues? I wish I was there.
No, I don't have tissues. I'm just out here. I'm raw dogging it. So definitely my psychologist at the time that I had like quite a long relationship built up with her. And definitely my oldest sister. Like, she's been like a pillar for me. Just, she's also a Scorpio, so she, mm-hmm. I just gel with Scorpios. I like their outlook on things because it's so powerful to receive guidance and support of someone with like that kind of aura about them, when you know that, you know, they don't let the rest of the world, like, they don't give a shit about what anyone thinks. Like, they will speak their mind. So you get some quite good advice of Scorpios, and especially being my sister, it was, yeah, it's huge. We also, like, on our synastry charts, like, we are, like, we've had so many lifetimes together as well.
Really?
Astrologically, yeah. Yeah, it's, yeah, definitely. So she was actually, I have been her mum in a past life.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and we've had lots of past lives as sisters, and, yeah, it's our relationship is, like, we don't need to speak for months and months if we don't want to, even though we do, but yeah. It wouldn't matter. Like, we're just, yeah.
Connected. Oh, that's really beautiful.
And goodness me. Oh God. There was someone I met once that was super influential. I was like, how do I say that? And I'll never forget them either. So it was when I was a single mom, mm-hmm. and these words just penetrate my mind all the fucking time. So this person actually, like, through their words triggered me to kind of move into, like, I guess another awakening, you could say, which is really fucked up because it was such a weird, just prepare for things to get really weird. It was such a weird interaction at the same time. So I was currently, like, kind of half, like, hanging out with this person, like, kind of maybe we weren't even dating. We were just, like, going on adventures together all the time. But just such a pure soul, like, such a genuinely nice soul, and a really old soul. Like, it was almost like hanging out with someone who was thousands of years old. It felt to the point where I was like, this is so weird. Like, how are they just so insightful and just so at peace? Anyway, I remember one day we were sitting, like, by this waterfall, and he was like, I always treat everyone around me like it's their last day on earth. Like, he's like, I don't have any kind of energy to give that is not the same as if it were someone, like, experiencing their last day of their own experience and existence. He's like, and that's how I want to treat people in my life. And if you walk down the street with this guy, oh my God, who would, like, stop people on the street and be like, hi, how are you going? I hope you have a really good day. Like, you would be crossing the road and he would just have the biggest smile on his face, smiling at the person crossing adjacent to him and be like, good morning, have a great day. Like, just so fucking kind and just giving with his energy in that way that, yeah, it was a huge lesson for me. And it was such a strange interaction that I had, because it was only over the space of a few months, but that interaction and what I learned of him in those few months has stuck with me. And I think about the words and the lessons that I learned during that time, like, still today, I'm like, wow, like, you know, it makes me want to treat people in that same way. And I've always held that so close to me ever since that. Obviously, nothing ever came of that of that interaction. But yeah, I just feel so grateful for it at the same time, because I think that it wasn't supposed to be like a long-term thing. I honestly think they were probably sent to me. yeah. just to learn those lessons. And then that was it. It's time to like get on with your life, like for, with these lessons that you've learned. So yeah, I will always remember him and be so grateful for the lessons that I learned during that time. And yeah, probably on account of just thinking about those words and lessons that much, it's probably in my top three.
Wow. So, yeah, I totally believe in like divine interactions. And I don't always believe that, you know, divinely orchestrated people in your life are meant to be there forever. Like they do kind of come and teach us lessons and some of them stay around forever. I think that's really beautiful. And it must have been pretty profound at that time. Obviously, you know, were a single mom. I'm guessing your spiritual journey, I'm curious, like if you were tapped in as a kid or whether it like when that kind of happened and when you started to step more deeply into that.
I think working with horses a lot as a child, it tapped me into energy. And I know I've spoken about this before, but they make you so aware of your energy and what you're actually giving off and how it affects people. So I think I was first really aware of it as a child. I started riding at four. So I just remember learning that the horse responds to your energy. So if you are calm and peaceful and you don't feel nervous or afraid, the horse is also going to feel calm and peaceful and it won't be afraid. But as soon as you get that anxiety or nervousness in your body and in your energy field, straight away that horse is going to take advantage of you. You'll end up flat on the ground. And I definitely learned that the hard way over that time. But yeah, I think as a child, I was always hyper aware of energy itself and could read people so well. I think too, that's probably also because of my mom and moving through like her own mental health journey as well. I think that, you know, I had to be hyper aware of reading her and seeing where she was at without her having to tell me, because I needed to make sure that I was going to be like safe. Yeah, I think as a child I was aware of it, but I didn't like work with it and tap into it in a really personal way, I think, until like I had my first son, really. And I started realizing, like, you know, the art of energy work and tapping into energy and manifestation, even things like that. I don't think that I really started to tap into that. But I remember as a child growing up that I would always be reading people constantly, and people would naturally always come to me to tell me things as well. And I'm like, yeah, I know that. They're like, what? Yeah. I'm like, yeah, I already know. So it was kind of something that I didn't really think much of it, to be honest. I just thought that it was like a normal thing as a child. So I didn't really consciously do anything about that. I just kind of let the messages flow through and the insight flow through, and didn't realize that it was there to actually work with actively until I got a bit older. So yeah, I wish I had of.
I know, it's funny, like, you know, now seeing my kid who's so intuitive, I'm like, oh, if only I had somebody in my life who was as conscious as I am now to support me as a young kid going through that. I think it would be such a profound experience. I'm sure you resonate with that, because it's so just to nurture incredible. It. Yeah, to nurture it, exactly.
To encourage it.
Yeah. It's natural that, you know, as you go into your teens and you're adult, more or different stress kind of comes into your life and your focus is drawn to other areas. And I think just as a kid, you have so much room and spaciousness to play with that kind of energy. And it's really fascinating. I know that you've actually been through quite a few like spiritual transformations, and quite recently, the one being through your business, you wanting to really change the way that you're portraying your brand. And I know that that came from a deep spiritual, you know, evolution. I'm really curious what led you to that, and especially starting Codex.
You know, I feel like we're going to laugh about this, but honestly, I feel like I was nudged into that transformation through starting this podcast and using my voice more and really activating the center and being like urged to speak out and to be bold. Like, you don't have to play small. You don't have to be beige, you know, like you can be bold and you can be colorful. You can be vibrant. You can be loud and you can be seen in this space. And I think that that really started when we began this space here, because before that, I felt like I didn't really have an outlet to share any of those things, especially because a lot of the most valuable things come when you're in dialogue with another person. And when you're a one woman business, it's kind of hard to do that, right?
Like, yeah.
It's really difficult. So I think that really activated when we began Divinely Human. And I speak for myself, but I really feel like I found my voice in beginning this. And it ended up really triggering me to want to shift the frequency that I was showing up in. I felt like I wasn't fully embodying the boldness that I feel inside myself. And also working with Lilith, working with serpent energy, especially. And that's why I chose one of the, like a little serpent as one of my little, like secondary logos as well, because I feel so much resonance with the embodiment of that. And yeah, I think that working through my, like beginning to work through my throat chakra and my solar plexus especially has been a huge thing in this next evolution of Codex Esoterica and it shifting into what it is. I just felt like, I don't know, even in the names, like I was, I was having this conversation too with Ash, who did my branding for me as well. And she was like, Lunar Alchemy and then Codex Esoterica. And I was like, yeah, there's one of them is like just very feminine.
Yeah.
And then the other one is like almost androgynous. It's masculine and it's feminine. It's the embodiment of both of those energies. It just feels complete. And that's what I wanted to bring through. And I really do feel like it's been the last 2 years that that's been kind of simmering to the surface to be expressed here. And it feels so good too. Once I began and the changeover happened and I'm showing up, you know, within this identity and this frequency, it feels so right now. It just feels so refreshing.
Yeah, it does. And from like being in your space and knowing you for quite a few years now, it's funny because I feel like the branding and that evolution, it not just is like an incredible like opening, but it really just reflects something that had always been there. Like that potency that comes through, like I felt that from the minute we spoke, like for the first time. And it's funny because it's just been beautiful watching it come out. And I think for people who struggle with traumatic experiences, especially in childhood, I think there's no rushing the transformation. There's no rushing like going through these experiences and stepping even more deeply into yourself. I think that that can just be actually even more damaging. I'm curious what you think about this whole process, because for me, it seems like a natural unraveling, but in the moment, I'm sure that there were questions in you going like, when is this going to happen? Or, you know, all of that.
I think for me, it wasn't when is this going to happen, but like, why is this happening?
Yeah.
Like, why are you just leaving this whole creation, this whole identity behind? Like, why? And I had so much trouble. You know, I was almost going to keep my old brand name too, because I felt like I couldn't part with it. And then I was like, what am I actually not wanting to part with? And then I realized that it was, there was still that aspect of those parts of myself that were ready to be healed and sent on their way that I was still hanging on to as well that came into it. So it's actually really interesting unpacking it and seeing the whys.
Yeah.
And one thing that I've really come to terms with is that you're going to wear so many hats in your lifetime. You're going to have so many different identities that come up to be expressed. There is going to be so many versions of yourself that want to come through to be heard and to be seen, because we have this beautiful existence that we're living right now, and we're here to play all of the roles and play all of the little fractals that we're made up of at different points in our life. And that's a really hard thing to accept and surrender into, especially being a Virgo. I hate change. I'm like, don't change a thing. Just leave it. I'm comfortable. It's good. Like, don't worry. I'll just keep pushing on here. But we have to change, and we have to evolve, and we have to let go of past ideas of ourselves that we've held on to and identities that we've held on to, and just allow ourselves to unfold and shift and change. And it's been one of the hardest lessons to learn myself, because I hate it. I hate change, but I'm actually learning to really dig it. like actually, this isn't too bad. I'm kind of getting the hang of this, I think. It's really interesting. And it's funny, everyone says that I've like spoken to, they're like, oh my God, my 30s, like something happened in my 30s. I just felt like a weight lifted off my shoulders. And then I went through my Saturn return, and then I turned 30. I'm like, whoa, oh my God. Whoa, I don't care. So I was like, I actually don't care. And it feels really good to just kind of do whatever I want without, I feel like the older I get, the less people pleasing I am too, which helps with shifting in and out of these different phases of our life and evolutions that we go through. Like, I feel like we go through, even just year to year, if you have a look at both of us, like we go through so many little micro evolutions. Do you agree?
I'm like day to day over here. But I know, I totally think that.
Yeah, it's like little, it's like micro awakenings. Yeah. All through the year, every single month, every single day, like you just said. But when we retaliate and we resist it, it just feels like shit eventually.
Yeah. Preaching to the choir over here. Yep.
Yeah, we need change. Everything moves on this earth. Like, everything is moving. We're fucking moving. We're spinning around in the cosmos. But everything moves, right? Like, the earth breathes. Water moves. Everything moves, and we can't just stay still. We have to move with it. And it's one of the biggest lessons that I've had to go through, and also not to judge myself while going through that as well. Like, oh my God, like, why do I feel like I need to do this for myself?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a big one.
It is a big one. I actually remember hearing a quote. It was like, if you are not growing, you're dying. Like, technically, when things in nature stop growing, they cease to exist anymore. And I'm like,
yeah.
That really hit me, because as a human, I'm not sure what your outlook on life is, because you have been through trauma as a child, but I know for a lot of us, there is this deep, just insatiable hunger to live a good life because we've seen how bad and shitty it can get. And so there's this insatiability of like wanting to grow and get better and do better, even though it hurts. And even though our mind or our programming will tell us like, maybe you're not worthy of this, or, you know, you haven't seen this in anybody else in your life. Like, why would it happen to you? And all of these stories come up. And no matter that, I don't know about you, but for me, there's just this inner drive to continue to grow no matter how hard it is.
Absolutely. I feel that so much. And it's not to say, just to preface for anyone listening, it's not to say that it's not okay to be still.
Yeah, but totally.
If you think about it, like even seeds under the ground, when they're dormant throughout winter, they're still germinating under there, right? Like they're still brewing up some cool bush.
Yeah. I love how you went to bush automatically.
They're slowly creating something beautiful. Maybe it's not a bush. Maybe it's a rose.
An oak tree, you know.
maybe, literally, oh my God, the acorn. The acorn. That's so symbolic of growth. Oh my goodness. You could do a whole podcast episode just about that.
I know. But
honestly, yes, I agree. I think that, who told me this? Oh my goodness, it was someone else that I met a few years, like years ago. I met this poet once and I was dating a poet.
Oh, dating a poet. It gets better. Okay. Story. Yeah,
He was a Virgo and there's only room for one. So, you know.
Okay. Yeah, no.
But he said, I remember him speaking and writing poetry about when you stop moving, that's when the day that you begin to die.
Yeah,
because your body is telling your brain to stop, and your brain sends out signals to your body that it's time to stop, and then you eventually start to just very slowly, not like weeks or months, but like years, you slowly begin to die. So I remember him always speaking about how important it is to get out there and find new interests, to try new things, to explore hobbies, to stay curious and want to experience things that you haven't experienced yet. And that is what keeps us alive.
Totally. I would totally agree there. I'm curious to wrap this up. What is that like? What if that continues to like cycle in your mind?
Oh my God.
Whether it be about the future.
That's a loaded question.
I mean, you can mold this however you want. So.
Oh my God. I feel like
I didn't make these questions. Not all of them anyway.
All right. Tracy Grimshaw. that's such a hard question. Oh my goodness.
It is a hard question.
I always have what ifs though. I'm a natural warrior. I'm like the queen of what ifs. I'm like anxiety girl. I'm like what the walking that's, what if.
That's your tagline. What if? I love that.
Yes, honestly, that's what I am. Like, if I had a Tumblr still, my username would be Anxiety Girl.
That's no. That's so funny.
I'm not claiming it. But there's lots of what ifs. I always wonder, like, what my life would look like. Like, what would I be doing if I wasn't doing this job? Like, I always wonder, I'm like, with the amount of bullshit that, even though there's so much beauty in what I do, but the amount of bullshit that I put up with as well, because obviously.
There's two sides to every industry, yeah.
There's two sides of every industry. Absolutely. So I always wonder, like, oh my God, will I ever get sick of this? Will I ever just be like, that's enough now?
I have wondered this too. What would you do?
Like, what would I do? Because I wouldn't want to go back to being a makeup artist.
Really?
I used to get sick of it. And I think now, especially like learning to use my voice.
Yeah.
I would be telling so many people off. Like every bride that I did their makeup for would probably be crying by the time I'm done with her because they're so fucking annoying. Like,
oh, that is hilarious.
So I'm like, what would I be doing? What would I be doing? I actually don't know. And that actually scares me because I'm like,
yeah,
oh my God, do I need it? But I'm like, because I don't have a backup plan, maybe I'll never need one. But what if?
Yeah.
What if I just get sick of people's shit? It's like all the more reason to bring through boundaries even more.
I know. Totally. I agree. Well, I mean, they say some of the most successful entrepreneurs and businesses that exist don't have backup plans for exactly that reason, because there's nowhere else for their energy to go and plan. But I have also wondered that too. And I think that it's fascinating to think like how much we really do invest ourselves in our business, like to the fact of like, we wouldn't even know what we would do. Not to say like we wouldn't know ourselves or anything like that. It's just that we're so invested and committed to this journey. So I think that's really funny.
Yeah. One of my goals is to reduce the amount of, I guess you could say, like sessions that I'm doing or readings that I'm doing. And when I was having my branding done, so this business that I've started, that I started years and years ago, it began with like products. And then I moved away from that because I wasn't resonating with what I was selling. But then I was having all of my branding redone. And obviously I had Ash, she made up like some mock-ups of like packaging.
Oh, cool.
I was like,
I like it.
I was like, oh my goodness, what if I could reduce like the sessions that I run so that I still had energy to show up? Because like at the moment I feel like my life is so busy, like I don't really have time to do as much and hold as much space as I'm wanting to for people anyway. But I'm like, what if I was to have like the other half of my business was like product based and I had that kind of like residual income as well come through. I think that it would be a really beautiful balance, I think. Totally. And I would be even more, I would want to hold space even more because I wouldn't be as open to do it. And I think that that's actually a good thing.
Yeah.
So that's also that's one of my like reverse what ifs.
I feel like I've had this as well. And I think that because our work is so energetically based, you do think like, well, there comes a point where your just energy is expended and you need to put those boundaries up. So I love that goal for you. I'm totally here to support that. Maybe we need to come up with a product line for Divinely Human.
Please, please, undies. Something. I don't know.
I actually love that. Could you imagine going to the toilet? You've had a shit day at work, right? You go to the toilet, you pull down your undies, and you remember you are a divine fucking human and there is nothing for you to worry about.
Not only do we have your back, we have your ass.
Oh, please, my God. I actually love that so much. No one.
Limited edition DH underwear.
Oh my God, that is so gold. I love it.
That's sisterhood. Yes, that sort of sisterhood runs deep.
Yes, I love that so much. Anyway, my mind is going in so many directions with this idea. I'm like, period.
I know. We're going to get off this podcast episode and you're going to send me like a database with graphs with like planning and stuff. You're like, I've got it all sorted. Just fill out the graph.
Exactly. Ready to go. Literally. Oh, this has been so eye-opening, and I'm so grateful for you being so vulnerable. I know it's sometimes really tough, no matter how much we've done around self-development and healing, it is always quite like, just, you know, touching those wounds can be sore sometimes. So I appreciate you for opening up, and I'm really happy that we did this. I feel like we all are just best friends now. We just know everything about you.
Yay.
Thank you. Oh, wow.
Thank you for listening to me. And also just holding that space, because I don't think I could pick anyone in the world that I would rather like to speak about this stuff with, because I just, yeah, we are sisters. So I really am grateful for you. So thank you for listening, and for everyone who has held space whilst listening to this episode. I just want to say thank you. And I'm really grateful for all of you.
Love you guys so much. We'll see you next week. And of course, you can catch us on all the platforms, YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, everywhere. If you have somebody in your life who has gone through experiences or just need to hear that, you know, opportunities and possibilities are possible for them, please pass this along. We'd love to reach new ears and find community that resonates. And of course, if you have any ideas for podcast episodes or you have any feedback, our DMs are always, always open, and you can utilize the voice note option down below. We'd love to hear your voice. You get to listen to ours, but we don't actually get to hear your voices at all. So we'd be so happy and honored to do that. And we'll catch you next week. Bye, guys.